Hi everyone, welcome to Global Voice. My name is Jeff.
My name is Emily.
Today's article is titled The Gregorian Calendar. So today we're talking about the calendar that most people around the world use every day, the Gregorian calendar, which is basically the standard international calendar. And so we're just talking about the 12-month calendar. It starts with January, ends with December. It has 4 months that have 30 days, 7 months of 31 days, and 1 month of 28 days. And then, of course, this Gregorian calendar also includes the occasional day, roughly once every 4 years, or the occasional year, once every 4 years, that has one extra day. Of course, that's when we add a leap day to the month of February. So that's pretty much what the Gregorian calendar is. It's just that standard 12-month solar calendar that people use whenever they want to communicate internationally. Also, it begins, the year began like, or the calendar began, or the current, the way we come up with the name of the year is it's basically, it starts at zero 2020 years ago. You get the idea. So everybody uses the Gregorian calendar, but where did it come from? And of course, how this calendar took shape finally has a very, very long history and is very complicated. And we don't really go into that much. What we do, however, is we start with its predecessor, known as the Julian calendar, and we talk about how it evolved from the Julian calendar. So if you're not familiar with the Julian calendar, it's this sort of outdated or obsolete calendar that was exactly the same as the Gregorian calendar. The only difference is how leap years were assigned to the various years. So the Julian calendar, basically, it's a little bit simpler. In the Julian calendar, every year that is divisible by 4 is a leap year. So you might think that's just like the Gregorian calendar. The only difference is the Gregorian calendar has an occasional year divided by 4 that is not a leap year. All right, so basically the rule is that if it's divisible by 4, if the year is divisible by 4, it's a leap year. If it's divisible by 100, it's not a leap year, unless it's also divisible by 400, in which case it is a leap year. So that's, it sounds more complicated than it is. So basically what that means is that, so a year like 1900 was not a leap year, because it ended with, it's divisible by 100, right? 1800 was not a leap year. Let's see what else. You know, you can go to 1700, not divisible, or not a leap year. And but if you go back to the year 1600, it was a leap year. The year 2000 was a leap year, because these years were divisible by 400. So basically, the Gregorian calendar, which we use today, has slightly fewer leap years, which means that the year, on average, is slightly shorter. And the reason they made this change back in the 1600s, or the 1500s, the reason why they made this change was because the Julian calendar was 365.25 days exactly, but a year is actually slightly less than that. A year is about 365.2425 days long. So over the course of several hundred years, what ends up happening is the seasons start to come later and later and later throughout the year, so that by the time the Gregorian calendar was accepted in the 1500s, there had already been a loss of 10 days in those 1500 plus years. And so that's bad. It's bad for the farmers, and it's bad for just people who like to associate certain times of the year with the different seasons, right? So January is winter, July is summer, but if if we kept using the Julian calendar, that would gradually change, and suddenly it would be summertime in the middle of December. And that would just be confusing. We want our seasons to align with the calendar, right? Especially if we're using a solar-based calendar. All right, so anything else? Do you know anything about either the Gregorian calendar or Julian calendar? Heard anything?
I don't really know too much about it. I mean, I didn't even know that was how leap years were calculated. I'd always been kind of curious about that, so that's something that's good to know. Because leap years, those are always kind of fun, right? You get an extra day. But I always feel like there's been a pattern of after leap years, they oftentimes make me skip the day that my birthday is supposed to be on a weekend and, you know, move it forward to like a Monday or something. Remember that happening a couple times. It's happening this year, so that's what I oftentimes associate leap years with. It's like, oh, I don't get to have my birthday on a Saturday or a Sunday. It has to be during the week.
But that can work to your advantage, too.
Yeah, you can skip some days. It just depends on the year, I guess.
Yeah, it depends on the year. But growing up, I'd always assumed, and a good way of simplifying it is just, you know, a leap year is every 4 years.
And yeah, it's pretty easy to keep track of.
In our lifetimes, that's always been the way. It's always been the way it's been. You know, every 4 years, leap year. Every 4 years, leap year, and so on and so forth. It's just every once in a while, basically 3 days every 400 years, that rule doesn't work. And I think it's kind of funny that they completely changed the calendar, or they changed the calendar at all, because of that. Because the you lose like one day every couple hundred years.
Yeah, it's interesting that they totally did a rehaul of it there. I've always thought it must be kind of funny to be born on February 29th, right? You only have your actual birthday every 4 years. So those people, I know there's jokes about how they can say, oh yeah, I'm only 4 years old.
Oh yeah, exactly. What do people do? I guess it would make sense to celebrate. If you're born on February 29th,
do you choose March 1st or February 28th as your birthday, or both of them?
Yeah, my understanding is you kind of just pick one, and then, you know, maybe you get two birthdays, 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so it makes things a little bit complicated, but not too complicated. Unfortunately, that type of complication is unavoidable because it just so happens that, you know, the length of a year is not a multiple of exactly how long a day is. So either you're going to have to use leap years, or you're going to have to get that kind of this weird drift where the months or the seasons don't correspond with the months.
Sounds kind of fun, actually, you know, have things change, but I guess they decided it would be too confusing.
Right, but after a while it became, I don't know, kind of necessary to make some kind of a change. And when they made the change, initially, the way they had to fix it was actually skip 10 days into the future. So, you know, you go to bed and it's the maybe the 2nd of the month. The next day you wake up, it's the 12th.
That would have been pretty strange. I feel sorry for anyone who, you know, had a birthday during those days. They must have been bummed out that they just skipped it that year.
Or your landlord charges you a full month
of rent. Yeah,
full month of rent, even though, you know, you it's a 10-day shorter month.
Or what if you had a meeting on one of those days and then just skipped it?
Right. I mean, I'm sure that was a big problem when these changes were made. But we'll talk all about how different countries responded to this change in the second half. So let's go ahead and start reading the first half of the article, The Gregorian Calendar.